be very comfortable for the body, but are conducive to spiritual realization. For example, fasting. Fasting twice or four times a month is a sort of austerity which may be voluntarily accepted for spiritual realization only, and not for any other purposes, political or otherwise. Fastings which are meant not for self-realization, but for some other purposes, are condemned in the Bhagavad Gita, 17:5-6. Similarly, cleanliness is necessary both for the mind and for the body. Simply bodily cleanliness may help to some extent, but cleanliness of the mind is necessary and is affected by glorifying the Supreme Lord. No one can cleanse the accumulated mental dust without glorifying the Supreme Lord. A godless civilization cannot cleanse the mind because it has no idea of God. And for this simple reason, people under such a civilization cannot have any good qualifications, however they may be materially equipped. We have to see things by the resultant actions. The resultant action of human civilization in the age of Kali is dissatisfaction. So everyone is anxious to get peace of mind. This peace of mind was complete in the Satyuga because of the existence of the above-mentioned attributes of the human being. Gradually, these attributes have diminished in the Treta Yuga to 3/4, in the Dwarpa to half, and this age of Kali to 1/4, which is also gradually diminishing on account of prevailing untruthfulness. By pride, either artificial or real, the resultant action of austerity is spoiled. By too much affection for female association, cleanliness is spoiled. By too much addiction to intoxication, mercy is spoiled. And by too much lying propaganda, truthfulness is spoiled. The revival of Bhagavad Dharma can save human civilization from falling prey to evils of all description. Idanim dharma padaste satyam niravarta yaditaha tam jigrikshat yadharmo yam ana. You are now standing on one leg only, which is your truthfulness, and you are somehow or another hobbling along. But quarrel personified Kali, flourishing by deceit, is also trying to destroy that leg. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristai Bhutte Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vajarne Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya Desadharna. This is a preview to Pariksit Maharaj being cursed by the Brahmin boy under the influence of Kali. And here the principal weapons of Kali Yuga are mentioned, namely uncleanliness, or lack of truthfulness, lack of mercy, or the intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, and meat eating. So these are also grouped under, in Bhagavad Gita, they fall simply under one category, namely austerity. As austerity in the mode of goodness is explained by Krishna, Deva Dvija Guru Pragya Pujanam Socham Arjivam Brahmacharya Mahimsam Cha Sharira Tapa Uchite. So there cleanliness of the body is mentioned. It's not the only thing that's mentioned, but it's one of the things that are mentioned. And then for the words, Anuvega Karam Vakyam Satvam Priyahitam Chayat Swarayayat Vyasanam Chaiva Vangmano Vangmaya Tapu Uchite. So there the Satyam, truthfulness, is mentioned, amongst other things also, such as study of the Vedas. There has to be some standard what truthfulness is, not that anything I just say what I feel, and that's truthful. I hate you, I want to kill you, so I'm being truthful. But that's not real truthfulness, because it may be in one sense truthfulness, but because it's not based upon real truth, therefore in one sense it's also a lie. That we may try to be truthful, but if we don't know what the real truth is, then we can't be truthful. Just like a group of thieves, they rob the bank, and after robbing the bank, they get together in a hideout, and the head thieves makes a declaration that now they should divide the money up honestly. But where can there be any honesty for thieves? What is the meaning of honesty if you're a thief? Dividing up money honestly. So, similarly, in modern society, they declare some people are, we should do things honestly. They have all this propaganda about corruption. But the whole thing is corrupt because it's based upon dishonesty. They have on their paper money, "In God we trust," but they have no trust in God because they don't follow his instructions. But still, they claim "In God we trust." Actually, they only trust in the dollar bill, which has no real reason to trust it, but because they're so foolish, they have some faith in this dollar bill. So this is all Shudra mentality. Shudra means no good quality, or little good quality. Less than Shudra is no good quality. As mentioned here, yas yasti bhaktir bhagavata kinchana savarganas tatra samasite sara hara bhaktasi kuto mahaguna manorate nasiti davatovahi. That if one is not factually engaged in the service of Krishna, somehow or another, following his instructions, even here in the 17th chapter that I'm mentioning, this is not full God consciousness. This is simply coming to a human form of life where it's possible to understand something about God consciousness. And then as far as the mind goes, Krishna says, manak prasadam samyatvam monamatma vinigraha bhavasamshidhi ityetad tapo manasam uchite. So here it's probably mentioned mental cleanliness, bhavasamshudhir. But there are other things mentioned also. Manak prasadam, satisfaction, somyatvam, equanimity. So these are actually basic qualities. If we don't have mental cleanliness, physical cleanliness, truthfulness, mercy, austerity, because austerity, this is all grouped under austerity, the mode of goodness. That if these things are not sought after, then there's no question that the mind can be pure enough to understand the truth. And here, the whole thing is, the last thing that's left is that there's some respect for the truth. But Kali is trying to eliminate that. In other words, some level of truthfulness. Of course, the actual level of truthfulness, as I said, is that there is a God, and we're not that God. There is a God who owns everything here. He is the controller of everything, and he is the friend of everyone. And if we don't follow him, then we're in difficulty. So that's the real truthfulness, the basis of it. And from that, other things like austerity, cleanliness, mercy, they follow. That if we're not clean, if we're not austere, if we're not merciful, then we'll be subjected to the modes of nature, the laws of nature, and we'll have to be punished accordingly. But of course, those who are not practiced in brahminical life, the mode of goodness, for them they have to be regulated. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, evam parampara praptam emam rajarshyo vidu sakaleneha mahata yogo nashta parantapa. That Krishna spoke the knowledge to someone like the sun god, who is a kshatriya, but a raja rishi. He not only was a ruler, but he actually had spiritual qualities, knowledge. And he was supposed to, the warriors, the leaders, the kshatriyas, they're especially supposed to protect people from lust, from whimsically, they're supposed to regulate people's activities so that they simply don't come more and more under the control of lust. Trivida narkasyedam dvaranashnamatmanaha kama krodha tata lovas tasmam etam trayam chyajet. There are three gates leading to hell, namely lust, anger, and greed, and every sane person should become free from them because they lead to the degradation of the self. So this lust, which is more or less, can further progress into anger and greed, which further progresses into illusion, madness, and finally enviousness. Enviousness means that not only am I mad and I'm illusioned, lusty, angry, and greedy, but I can do any crazy thing. There's no limit to it. That simply in the mode of ignorance, one becomes not only mad, but he becomes completely envious. And in just the name of becoming the Lord, to feel that one is the Lord, one can degrade and one can do anything in the mode of ignorance. Therefore, Krishna points out austerity, but then he also points out charity. And he also points out sacrifice. Because it's not enough to simply try to develop some qualities, we have to do something. Of course, austerity is mentioned here, but with knowledge of the truth, knowledge of some part of the truth even, then we have to know what is to be sacrificed, how to sacrifice. Because it's not that only religious people sacrifice. Everyone has to sacrifice. These are eternal principles. People get up in the morning, they sacrifice their energy to go and work and make money. But now the only sacrifice is make money and sacrifice one's life for sense gratification. The only sacrifice is to lust and anger and greed and illusion, envy and madness. People are madly sacrificing for these things without any knowledge of religious principles. And even the so-called religious leaders, they're encouraging people to sacrifice their energy for more and more lust and anger and greed. And maybe they have a little part of the religious principle that differentiates them. Maybe they tell people not to kill children. Therefore, they're considered to be a very strict religion. That if some religion, their only principle is to don't abort children in the womb, they're considered to be very conservative. Of course, they also say it's fine to kill animals, eat them. It's fine to take intoxication and try to have illicit sex in only a very small area. Just try to restrict your illicit sex as much as you can. And then you're a religious person, and the only thing you have to do is pay money to the church, and everything will be taken care of. Therefore, even the so-called religious leaders, they don't even know what the religious principles really are. And even if they know, due to the lack of truthfulness, they hide them. Even if they have the Bible, and someone points out something in the Bible, they'll simply fanatically stick to their point that it doesn't really matter. Don't listen to Jesus Christ. Just accept him. But what does it mean to accept him if you don't listen to him? And if Jesus Christ is God, then if he says one thing in the Bible, one thing is said in the Bible, then it must be true. You can't point out 5-15 other things which contradict it. That makes it untrue. God is not schizophrenic. One time he says one thing, then his mood changes and he says something else. That's not reality. Therefore, one has to sacrifice his energy. The sacrifice of the energy is supposed to be according to Dharma. Similarly, charity is supposed to be according to Dharma. And it's all supposed to be according to Dharma, austerity. So Prabhupada points out, sometimes people utilize austerity, but they utilize it for something other than according to religious principles. Sometimes they make sacrifices. As a matter of fact, everyone's making a sacrifice, but if they don't know what Dharma is, it doesn't really help them. And in Kali Yuga especially, due to lack of truthfulness, lack of knowledge, Krishna says, the Dharma, Dharma, iti, ya, va, manite, tamasavritaha, sarvatam, viparitamscha, buddhisaparta, tamasi. They think that religion is actually irreligion. If we point out to them, you're not supposed to eat meat, many people get very angry that it's unscientific, it's irreligious. That one of the reasons in Belgium, for instance, the government had a statement that one of the reasons the Hare Krishna movement was a dangerous cult is that they don't eat meat. And the other thing is that they pointed out, which is really quite severe or quite dangerous to the welfare of the people, is that they would go on the street and chant God's names. So they think that religion, and their religion, is make money, enjoy sense gratification. Get up in the morning, go to your job. That's religion. That's how you regulate yourself. As long as you show up in your job in time, as long as you do your work, whatever it may be, however sinful it may be, even you have religious communities, they make their money by making intoxication. But because they do it in a regulated way, they're considered religious. Nothing really, the only thing that really differentiates them, and we won't get into the details, there may be subtleties. In other words, people may have some blind faith in God, but they have no idea really what religion is. Therefore, they think that religion is irreligion, and they think that irreligion is religion. And therefore, they always strive in the wrong direction. And others, Krishna says, yaya tu dharma, yaya dharmam adharmam cha, karyam cha karyam eva cha, ayatavat prajanati buddhisaparta rajasi. That sometimes they think that what is to be done is not to be done. Sometimes they think that what is not to be done is to be done. They confuse religion with irreligion. So it's not, they're not always wrong. Sometimes they get it right, sometimes they get it wrong. Sometimes they say, don't kill children, but it's all right to kill animals. So this is the mode of passion. But Krishna doesn't say that if you follow something in the mode of passion, you'll wind up in goodness. That if you follow religion in the mode of passion, then you'll wind up in the heavenly planets. So he says if you work in the mode of passion, you come back again to some situation where it's the mode of passion. Yada sattve puridetu pralaya yata dehabrit totamam vidan lokam amalam pratipadyate. If you work in the mode of goodness, then you go to the planet where people work in the mode of goodness. Rajasi pralayam gadva karma sangishu jayate. And if you work in the mode of passion, you go to the place where people work in passion. Tata pralinas tasmasi murayonashi jayate. And if you work in the mode of ignorance, you go to the place where people are in ignorance, or the lower species of life. So now there's a little passion, then that's considered to be goodness. Because for someone in ignorance, passion seems good. And for someone in the mode of passion with no knowledge, then goodness sometimes seems less than ignorance. Because they have no real clear perception of things. They're not really clear what's goodness, what's passion, what's ignorance. They're more or less bewildered. But they have some sentiment or some faith or some knowledge, something there. But the result is they'll simply come back again. But the problem is, because they have no real clear understanding, they're just following out a sentiment, they're usually going to fall into the mode of ignorance. By bad association, they start believing that everyone else except for them is of the devil. And that whatever they do is divine. They can kill animals, they can eat meat, take intoxication, have illicit sex, and they're still religious. Because in one sense, if they follow some principle, they are religious, because that's shudra. Shudra means they follow some regulation from something higher than themselves. They're not completely irregulated. But they don't kill cows. You can't kill a cow and be a shudra. Then you're less than a shudra. And you have to be regulated in your habits of intoxication, sex life, and meat eating, and gambling. There has to be some regulation coming from people who have actual knowledge. Or else then you're not even a shudra. You won't even obey anyone. You won't obey anyone who has knowledge from the shastra. Then you're less than an animal. And the vaishyas, they of course have to protect the cow. It's not just that they don't eat the cow. They actually have to protect the cow. And they also can't be unrestricted in their sex life. They're gambling or they're speculation, nor can they be unregulated in their taking intoxication. They also had to go through some scar. They had to have some knowledge of the Vedas. Therefore, they're more regulated. But more than them are the Kshatriyas. They had to be further restricted in what they could eat, how they could perform, take intoxication. To take intoxication, they'd have to perform a sacrifice. And they'd only be able to restrictedly take a certain type of intoxication after sacrifice. And there are varieties of ways of having sex life for a kshatriya, but they were put themselves at risk. In most of the ways, it wasn't that they'd have to fight, show their prowess. But only the Brahmins can actually, as Prabhupada once writes in one part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, only the Brahmins can actually be considered factually human beings. Because their level of truthfulness, their level of cleanliness, their level of austerity, their level of mercy makes them actually a human being. The other is they're coming to the platform of humanity, being something other than being imbibed with animal qualifications or characteristics. And the Brahmins, they know the Shastra. They're the ones who actually can see things clearly. Therefore, they can guide the others how, while living in the material world, even under the sway of the material modes of nature, they can make some progress, however quick or slow, according to their ability to understand and apply. But nowadays, there are no Brahmins, there is no Shastra, there are no people, even Kshatriyas. There are just a few people who are Vaishyas, who have enough intelligence to cheat people, and everyone else is just being cheated. And they, because they're in ignorance and passion, therefore their endeavor to so-called progress is simply putting them more into ignorance. And the only thing left mentioned here is truthfulness. And that's one of the two principal brahminical qualities of Krishna says, Samadhamma tapaso cham shantir arjavam evacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma sabhavajam. Cleanliness and truthfulness are the two major brahminical qualities. But that's based upon astikyam, following religious principles, and jnana and vijnana, knowledge theoretically and applied. They have to have some knowledge. There's no question of truthfulness unless one has actual knowledge of what truthfulness is and applies it according to religious principles. Then one will be able to control the mind and the senses and engage them properly. But because there are no Brahmins, no one knows what reality is. Everyone has a very vague conception of reality. Everyone's just speculating, more or less. The religious people are speculating. The non-religious people are speculating just on the objects of the senses, and they call upon someone called God or some energy or something to help them in their sense gratification with no understanding what the goal is. Some people have some idea about going to the heavenly planets, but it's all in the mode of ignorance. You ram your truck full of explosives into some building, and then you go to the heavenly planets. You act in the mode of ignorance, and you wind up in the mode of goodness. But that's not what Krishna says. That's simply ignorance. They're claiming to be religious, but actually they're just ignorant. And the result will not be goodness, the result will be ignorance. Krishna says, Sadva Nrupa Sarvasha Sharadvaviti Bharata Sharo Yo 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 Purusho Yo Yatscharas Eva Saha. That according to the nature, your faith that you have, according to your understanding, if you simply work according to that, then the result will be you'll get another faith. So what is that faith? Krishna has explained that previously in the modes of nature. If you work according to sattva sanjayate jnana, it's according to real knowledge, the result, Krishna says, you become purified of lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and madness. And if you work in the mode of passion, rajaso lobha evacha, then you become greedy. If you serve lust, then greed will happen. If you satisfy the lust, then you interpret that as happiness, then the lust increases, then you simply become greedy to satisfy your lust more, because that's what you interpret as happiness. And then when you can't do it, you can't satisfy the lust and greed anymore, you become frustrated and angry. And then you become more bewildered, and more. Then finally the bewilderment increases enough that you're labeled legally or illegally mad, and the only satisfaction you get is out of envy. So Maya works very systematically, although we don't see the system. And therefore, instead of actually becoming elevated, people under the present system, because of lack of knowledge, lack of clear direction, they're being misdirected. Andaya tandira pagiyamanasti pisha tantra uru dhami bhara. They've taken something insignificant as so significant that they're willing to deny whatever knowledge or truth they have simply to get it. They know it's not going to work, but they want to forget that it's not going to work. They're going to do it again. This is the only. They're so bewildered, they think it's the only alternative they have. They know it's not good to go, to be so-called religious and go and destroy countries just to get some oil, so you can have the oil, so you can keep on killing the animals and eat them. Because if you didn't have the oil, then you'd have to do something to grow the grains with. And you're not going to pull the plow, so you're going to have to use some animal. But if you use the animal, you can't eat it. You can't have it pull the plow and eat it while you're pulling the plow. So in order to keep up their current sense gratification of their McDonald's or whatever else they have to go over and kill people. But they know it's not religious to go over and just kill people so you can eat animals, because that's not part of their philosophy. You're supposed to not kill people. But you got to do it, because otherwise then we can't do our religious duty of eating the cow So we have to deny our actual religious principles and pretend that it's a religious thing to go over and kill so many people in order to get the oil so we can eat the animals. And then, because you're frustrated and bewildered, then you just increase your intoxication. And the whole thing is all based on illicit sex anyhow. That, therefore, that's, you deny that that's an irreligious principle. So, even your so-called denial of abortion or the product of illicit sex, that you kind of gradually decrease your fanaticism about that. So in this way, because people don't understand reality, they're not so interested in understanding reality, those who are leaders, they're certainly trying to put people more and more in ignorance in general. Therefore, the result is that society becomes degraded. But Prabhupada said, if you light a match in a dark place, if real knowledge is put forward, if people are actually following the knowledge when they put it forward, it's easy to put forward the knowledge in the scriptures, any scripture, and if we don't follow it, then we'll just interpret it according to our illusion rather than reality. So it's not a question of just having the book and showing the book and everything's going to be perfect. Otherwise, probably wouldn't have needed a society. But you need people who are following the book so they can understand the book. And then they can explain things in such a way as that people will actually follow religious principles, at least. They'll become bona fide Shudras and Vaishyas and Kshatriyas, and you might even get a few Brahmins who come in the mode of goodness and actually experience things as they really are. And then you might really have some real devotees coming out of that, who actually have no other interest than devotion. But in the absence of that, you simply have less than animals. And there's a little regulation due to some religious principles, but those who are leaders are rapidly trying to get rid of them. Maybe not consciously, maybe they're due to just Kali Yuga, not that they're thinking they're being irreligious, but as I said, you can think you're very religious, but if you're in the mode of ignorance, that religion will simply send you to hell. You may be very regulated in how you slaughter the animals. It may be according to certain rules and regulations in the mode of ignorance. But the basic principle is animal slaughter. Therefore, however systematically, scientifically, how many rules and regulations you have that you don't want to, you want to make sure the animal dies painlessly, therefore you consider it very merciful, slaughter. That now we've invented something where the animals don't have to suffer so much. So now we've become very merciful animal killers. So, such a philosophy, the mode of ignorance, with little tinge of compassion in it, still winds up the same mode of ignorance. Therefore, these basic principles are the real judge where people are, if they're in the, what mode of nature they're in. And if they deny these principles completely, they're certainly completely in the mode of ignorance. And the result of people acting in the mode of ignorance, they simply become completely crazy, and their works themselves will hurt themselves and hurt everyone else. They're just like monkeys. The monkey may be very active, may be accomplishing so many things, but whatever it accomplishes is bad for everyone. It's simply creating a disturbance. So without knowledge and without truthfulness, which is dependent, truthfulness is depending on knowledge, then the society is finished. Then soon we'll be able to see Kali Yuga in full-fledged force, where people's their only business is eating each other on the street. They're only, you go out to every day to the street. Your work is simply hunting your neighbor. You knock on your neighbor's door, and if he's home, then you kill him, and then you cook him up, maybe in his home or in your home. And that's considered a good religious principle. That you share your neighbor with your family. that you're a good person. Yeah, I'll stop there. Any questions? Yes.
Do any different religions that maybe promote lower modes of nature, or if they progress people out of those modes? I mean,
not that I've seen. Have you seen that at all?
Well, I've seen some statements by Prabhupada where he says about, like in the Land of Bhagavad and Nation, that preachers of all modified religions should.
Yeah, they should find out who God is. That's what we're here for. To inform them what the glories of God are, so they can actually apply their teachings in their religion. The teachings of their religion in a practical way. Therefore, Prabhupada thought that when he talked to the priests, the main point is that they should stop eating the cow. They shouldn't untruthfully, dishonestly change the tenets of their religion to suit their activities. They should change their activities to suit their religion. So we're trying to encourage them to do that. If they follow the principles of religion, namely austerity, truthfulness, cleanliness, and mercifulness, if they even acknowledge them, even if they can't so strictly apply them, but if they recognize them, and then make an attempt to follow them, then there'll be some progress. But if they don't even recognize them, what to speak of not recognizing them, if they deny them or preach against them, that you're the devil if you're a vegetarian, that only good you know, so-called religious follower, they kill the animals. Otherwise, you're not a good follower. Then such a philosophy has nothing to do with reality. Therefore, you'll find amongst the religions, they're all divided up. Some of them are vegetarians, some of them are against abortion, some of them restrict their intoxication, some of them are into marriage. It's all divided up because they don't have a clear understanding how it all connects with making any kind, even material progress. But to speak of spiritual awareness. But our philosophy is supposed to be systematic enough that if we assimilate, we understand exactly where everyone, what if you do this, you'll get that result. It's not, nothing's arbitrary. It's not that you do this, or you think that, or you say this, and the result is just, you know, who knows what the result is. It should be clear what the result is. And the result of performing these activities is they're irreligious. And the result is you become a demon. So if you're a demon, it doesn't matter what you look like, what your religious designation is, or what your religious dress is, but you're a demon. But not a demon in the sense that you get two horns and a tail and a forked tongue. You're a demon in the sense you're a sura. You don't follow godly principles and you're progressing towards the mode of ignorance. Deeper. You're not making progress in a forward direction, you're going backwards. So those are the asuras. They deny all regulated principles. They deny the order of God. They won't follow anything. They're just following their senses. So we can see that religion is degraded. It's not only that these other we have the truth, the light, and the way, and no one comes to Krishna except through us. That's not our philosophy either. We can see we're also affected by the same lower modes that other people are affected by. We're just supposed to have enough understanding so we're discouraged from pursuing it further and further. But even that, we can see that people are not so unlimitedly anxious to come and receive this philosophy, even in our own movement. Why? Because we'll interfere with our sense gratification. However gross or subtle it may be, it'll interfere with it. We get too much philosophy, we'll feel guilty, and then we can't enjoy anymore. We've come to too much intimate association with the super soul, and now he's talking to us and making us feel guilty about what we're doing. So better not to come too often to these classes, because you might hear something that will restrict you even more than you want to be restricted. We don't mind coming to pray to God, and he's delivering all the sense gratification we're asking for. But we do mind coming to God, and he's telling us things that are going to disturb our sense gratification. Agitate our minds, make us feel guilty, and therefore we can't enjoy anymore. So that's what religion is supposed to do. That's what knowledge is supposed to do. Conscience is not bad. It's supposed to dissuade us from doing things which are ultimately bad for ourselves and others. But if we don't want to be dissuaded, we're committed to lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, and madness as our only shelter. And if God can help us take deeper, more shelter in these things, then he's good. And if he can, he's useless. Then what could be done? Anything else? Does that answer your question? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Om.